Oh, praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad to be blessed to be here. Thank God he's helped us. You know, we had that very cold weather over the weekend, and it feels a lot warmer today. I know, I think it was in the 20s, maybe 27 or 28 at some points, I know it said that it felt like 50 there on my weather report, but it was nice and a blessing. And there's one thing about the weather here when it gets really, really cold, you know, in the zeros and minuses, when it warms up and is in the 20s and 30s, it feels so much warmer. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We almost think it's spring. No, I guess I'm a little bit silly there, but anyway, when it's so cold, you know, those 30 degrees more just make it feel really quite warm to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here, glad that God is here, glad that we can sing his praises and talk to him. And oh, I think there's just a couple more prayer requests that I want to bring forth right at the moment. I know my daughter Sarah fell on the ice. Well, she fell down her steps and they were icy, let's put it that way, and she was in a lot of pain. She's got a broken bone in her leg, her fibula, close to the ankle, I think, and wearing a boot shoe at the moment. And I know she was in a lot of pain, had a rough night last night. I think the meds they gave her at the hospital made her kind of nauseated. So we could pray for her. And then I know Dawn has asked prayer for her sister Brenda, who really is not doing real well and does need a touch from the Lord. So let's just go before the Lord as we begin here tonight and ask him to be here and help us and help our people. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, God, that you are with us. We do thank you that we can come before thee, Lord. And oh, God, we thank you that we have your word to open up our understanding. And oh, God, to lead us, to guide us. Oh, God, to direct us. Oh, God, that we can glean from thy word, Lord. It shows us, oh, what you would have us to know, Lord. And we see those examples that you've given us. Oh, God, that admonish us and encourage us and strengthen us. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to apply it properly. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that your word would rule and reign in our hearts, Lord. And, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you'd just put it down deep, Lord Jesus, where we need it, oh, Lord, for we've got to make it through this world. And, oh, God, we all need your help. We all need your strength. We all need the Holy Ghost. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd help us in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just pray for my daughter, Sarah. I pray, oh, God, that you would touch her heart, that you would help her through this trial. I pray, oh, God, that fibula bone near the ankle would heal quickly, Lord. And, oh, Jesus, I pray that you would help her, Lord, and strengthen her. Oh, God, and help her through this ordeal. Oh, Jesus, that it would speak to her. And, oh, Lord, that you'd draw her ever closer to thee. And, Lord, I do pray for Brenda, to Brenda Drex, Lord, there in Michigan. Dawn's sister, oh, God, you know the great pain she is in. And, oh, God, the details with the bowels not moving. And oh, God, it seems that there's some kind of blockage. I pray that you'd help her. I pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom. I pray, oh, God, that you would move this blockage in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood, Lord, I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that you would take over and, oh God, do what the doctors cannot do, Lord. You know this need. Oh God, I pray for this woman who is in great pain, Lord. I pray that you would help her in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, Lord, that you'd help her even right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we do thank you. We do praise you, Lord. Oh God, we do worship you, Lord. I pray that your will would be done, and oh God, that you would go forth, Lord, to show yourself. For we need you, Lord. We need greater faith. Oh Lord, we need greater boldness. Oh God, we need greater determination, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this world, oh God. Help us in this situation, oh God, in all situations. Oh God, continue to heal Brother Tim, Lord. And oh Jesus, oh God, help all the needs there to mend as they need to Jesus. Oh God, help Penny tonight, Lord. Oh God, help all your children, Lord, for you know our particulars. You know our needs, even before we ask. We come before thee, Jesus, and we ask this all in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Praise God. I know our God is sufficient for our needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows how to help us through every situation and trial. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go again to Psalms 105. Our little history that's connected here, our little history lesson that's connected with this psalm, and pray that the Lord would use this here and help us all. We can, oh my, you just never know what the Lord's going to show us. So I thank God for this wonderful opportunity that we have this wonderful book and all the stories, oh my, all the encouragements, all the psalms, all the details, the letters, oh, that are given to us, of course, the wonderful Gospels, the Book of Acts, everything, oh my, that we have in this book that is, oh yes, for our edification and help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go here. Praise the Lord. Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, starting with the first verse, and I'm just going to read the portions that we've studied pretty thoroughly, I think. You know, without a lot of comment, I think. But by the grace of God, just believing that His will be done here tonight. It tells us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him and sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And I do think a great deal of this chapter is all about remembering what God had done for them. You know, He brings them back to the promise that had been made to Abraham and then passed on to Isaac and then to Jacob and unto Israel. And, you know, God made a covenant with them, and it was something not to be taken lightly. It wasn't fulfilled in an instant, and I'm sure those that believed in His covenant didn't always see the fulfillment of it. In fact, many of them did not until, oh my, they got to heaven. Praise the Lord. But you know, nevertheless, one thing that we do know about God is what He hath declared He will do. And that promise that He made with Abraham and passed it on, He was going to keep. Amen. And I just see that as we go through these verses that, you know, it just all comes down to the fact that He remembered those promises that He had given to Abraham. And every detail was worked out by the plan of God. You know, we don't always know what His plan is. He doesn't always tell us. You know, and there are times when He unfolds it very clearly, but many times our walk with the Lord is by faith. And we may not have steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, do this and do that and the next thing and so on. And sometimes he is more precise. I can remember some details. I remember, as I'm just pondering at the moment, you know, a beautiful story where people were told they were in Russia during the time of the Bolsheviks and they were Christians, and they felt like they needed to get out of there. And God led them. There were three groups of them, from what I remember in the story, and they all were led by the Lord. They didn't know how in the world they were going to get through Russia into a destination that would be safe at that point. But God led them one day at a time. He would tell them where to go, and they would go there for that day, that night, and then the next day there would be more instructions, and they would follow through, and they would continue until they got to destination. And as I recall, there, like I said, there were three groups, and they all took a little different route. But the amazing thing is that they must have walked miles and miles and miles. They landed someplace in China, as I recall. And they all ended up at the same place. Just amazing. But see, you know, God unfolded his plan, and he did it gradually. You know, he didn't, you know, give them the whole outline and say, you know, this is how it's going to be. You know, just follow the map. But, you know, it was day by day. You know, it's so true with us too. I think every day we need to put our lives into God's hands. Every day we need to seek him for his will. You know, you just never know what's going to happen in a given day. There are so many surprises. A lot of times events happen that we never would have expected. And so it is, you know. But yet, you know, when we put it in God's hands and just let him direct us, then he knows how to bring about his will in our lives. And isn't that what we're seeking? To do his will, to please him, to live according to his ways? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful we've got the Good Shepherd. Yes. Yes, who knows how to lead his sheep little by little. You know, the shepherd out there, you know, who leads his sheep into the green pastures, you know, he may not always know exactly where he's going to take them, but he's looking for a place where they will be nourished, where they can pasture, you know, where they can find food and water, of course. And so it is, you know, God's going to direct us. Knows the end from the beginning, but oh, praise the Lord, he knows how to help us day by day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's continue here. Praise the Lord. So it says, verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And, you know, people might try to escape God, but you can't escape God. Oh, yes, he sees it all, he knows it all, and his judgments will prevail. Amen. They are in all the earth. And verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Of course, it all came down to Jesus, and praise the Lord, in Jesus we find our fulfillment, because praise the Lord, the price he paid on the cross was to bring forth his sons and his daughters, his children, his spiritual family. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, if he has redeemed us, if he has saved us, then we are part of that family. And oh yes, heirs of Christ, praise the Lord. And oh yes, part of the plan that began with even Abraham. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 11, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, Lot of your inheritance. When you were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Oh, praise the Lord. I love the care that Jesus Christ has for his people. Amen. Oh, we are the apple of his eye, so to speak. And you know, he goes before us, and oh, we don't even have the beginning of knowledge to know how he has spared us so much that could have gone so very, very wrong. And I know a few weeks ago, there were two guys, the lady across the street observed this there from her window in her house, and saw that there were two guys that were trying to get into this church. And praise the Lord, they didn't succeed, and they were scattered. She called the police and reported it, but you know, we don't know how many times, you know, there could have been a break-in or some other kind of trouble. But God has helped us again and again, so much even beyond what we could even begin to know. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the wonderful God that we serve. Amen. So, okay, he goes on, and this is a little history here. He's, you know, the psalmist is wanting the individuals to remember how God kept that covenant and how he brought it forth and these steps that were all a part of it. Amen. So, you know, even when Joseph was taken away from his family, brought into a strange land, God was with him in an amazing way. You know, the next portion of scripture talks about Joseph. Moreover, he called, and that would be God, that called for a famine upon the land. And you think, well, that doesn't sound nice, you know, a famine. But God was going to take that famine and use it for his kingdom and for his glory. And we don't know, you know, the things that happen in this world, sometimes it seems so strange, and we don't begin to understand, and we might be confused by it all, but God is working out his plan, and oh, certainly he did so for Joseph. And, oh, yes, how it all unfolded, little by little, amen. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Oh yes, he went through those pesky things, didn't he? Oh my, it's not fun. Oh my, to be accused of something that you had nothing to do with, a downright lie, that which Potiphar's wife declared, and you know, got Potiphar against him. And then being cast into prison, something he did not deserve by any means. But praise the Lord, you know, the Lord was with him. The Lord used him even then. And oh yes, he was able to interpret those dreams, the one from the butler and the baker. And it came to pass exactly as Joseph interpreted them. But it must have been a little hard for Joseph, because he had told the butler, or requested of the butler, that he please remember him to Pharaoh. And 2 years passed and nothing happened. You know, Joseph must have thought he forgot. You know, and you know, it could not have been easy for Joseph when he's being tried like that. But oh yes, that moment came. The Lord orchestrated it. He gave Pharaoh those dreams, and all at once everything else began to unfold, and the butler remembered how he'd promised this man who was in prison, who was kind of ahead of the prisoners there, Joseph, you know, that he had interpreted his dream, And the dream of the baker likewise, and the dreams had come to pass precisely exactly just as Joseph had interpreted. And oh yes, the Lord used that. So the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Oh, it's so amazing. He could have never have dreamed that that's how that story would have unfolded. But oh, it did. It did, because God was working out his plan and he was going to use Joseph. And praise the Lord, those dreams that Joseph had had as a young man, maybe 17 years old, you know, came to pass just as God had given them to Joseph those years before. Oh yes, so here he is. He was 30 years old, I believe, when Pharaoh recognized him and he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and then all at once everything changed and he was, oh my, he was made second unto Pharaoh in the kingdom of Egypt. And of course we know that eventually his father, Jacob, or also called Israel as God had renamed him, they all came down into Egypt. They were given the land of Goshen, praise the Lord, 70 souls at that time, not very many. But oh yes, it tells us Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, praise the Lord, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. And that is such an amazing story. We went there last week, those first chapters there in Exodus. You know, they had waxed so strong, had been so blessed to the Lord, these Israelites or these Hebrews, that the Hebrew that was ruling at that point was very concerned. And so concerned that he wanted to eliminate the Hebrew people. And oh yes, it came to a point where, you know, they were going to get rid of all the Hebrew boys, those that would be born. You know, first of all, the midwives, he told them to kill them, and then he told his people to keep watch. And, you know, if they realized that there was a male baby under the year two, that, you know, they were to drown that child in the sea. And boy, that was a very hard time. But God was still working out his plan. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. So Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people. He's talking about Pharaoh and the Egyptians, to deal subtly with his servants. Oh yes, they used a great deal of slyness and trying to, you know, cause them not to grow, not to be fruitful. But, you know, the more they put on them, the more they grew. Amazing thing, isn't it, here with God? But then, oh yes, it came to Moses. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And of course, the amazing story how God preserved Moses, who, you know, would have been likely to have been drowned as he was born during that period when Pharaoh had commanded that all the male babies be born, that were born, would be drowned. But God preserved him, amen. And God was going to use that man in a mighty, mighty way. It took a while. Moses was 40 when he left Egypt, when he forsook it, when he had to get out of there, when he realized that Pharaoh knew that he had killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He had to, you know, escape. Yes, the news did come to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was not happy, you know, but God took care of Moses. 40 years he was in the wilderness. And when he turned 80, it was time for God to use him in a mighty way to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen.
Moses was 80 at that point, and Aaron was 83. But, oh my, you know, they weren't too old to be used of God. Praise the Lord. So they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. And I made this comment last week. You know, it's interesting. You know, there were the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And, you know, this scripture and the one we read in verse 23, you know, just call Egypt the land of Ham. Praise the Lord. So, yes, Ham and those that were born of him settled in Egypt and other places in Africa. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it tells us, as we're talking about Moses and Aaron, they showed his signs among them and his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. And they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And here I will stop here for a moment, because here we're telling the means by which God used Moses and Aaron to show forth signs among the Egyptians. Signs that would indicate the great need that they needed to let the children of Israel go. It was time. God's never late in his works. And, you know, these years had passed, and now, yes, it was time for them to be delivered and to be led out of Egypt. And God is going to orchestrate it. Amen. God is going to use details that we never would guess to bring them out after those many long years that they were in Egypt. And so it is. You know, we left off, I believe, in Exodus 5 last week, and you know, at the end of that fifth chapter of Exodus, it seemed like Moses was a little puzzled because, you know, he went before Pharaoh, he and Aaron, his brother. They stood forth before Pharaoh, and, you know, they had requested that, Pharaoh would let his people go, but Pharaoh had reacted just the opposite. Instead of letting them go, he'd put heavier burdens on the Hebrew people. It just seemed like, this isn't working. You know, God, why did you tell us to go there before Pharaoh and entreat him and ask him to let your people go when he reacted very, very meanly, to say the least, and made their burdens much heavier. And instead of giving them the straw that they needed to make the bricks with, you know, he said that they would have to get their own straw. It just seemed like it was going very wrong, what God had put into Moses' heart, the instructions he had given him, and it was hard to understand. But God was working out his plan. And he wanted Pharaoh to know who he was. There was something beyond. God knew what it would take. And he knew that if, Pharaoh just said, yes, get up and go, bye-bye, that it wouldn't be completed. But God was going to use signs and wonders to work on Pharaoh, and he was also hardening Pharaoh's heart so that he did not want to let the Israelite people go. And it would have seemed like this isn't going right. He would try our patience, I would think, all of this. But God was going to use these plagues. He was going to deliberately harden Pharaoh's heart, as we're told in chapter 7 of Exodus. And he told Moses, he said in verse 4 here, chapter 7 of Exodus, "But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments." And then he says in verse 5, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And I find that so interesting, you know? God wanted them to know who he was. They couldn't come up with any other thought, any other tale or story, but they were going to know before this was all over that it was God's doing, and it was God that was bringing them out of Egypt. And so God deliberately allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, so that he didn't just, you know, immediately say, "Well, okay, if you want to go, just go." No, it was going to take a lot of trials and tests. But oh my, God was going to use signs and wonders to show his might and his power and his authority. He was going to make the Egyptians know that he was the Lord God Almighty. You know, we're living in very perilous times right now, and sometimes it's rather hard to know exactly what is going on. But I assure each and every one of you that God has a plan, just as he had a plan for his children, the children of Israel, how to bring them out. He has a plan for us today, and he knows what it's going to take. He knows what he wants to make known. He knows what it's going to take to make every knee bow and every tongue to confess that he is Lord. And you know, it's not going to be very good for those that find of late, you know, very lately, that in their lives that he's God, or, you know, even after they've been brought forth from the dead, you know who he is. But the Lord is going to do it in such a way that he will make himself known as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can have confidence in that, just as he promised that he would come again. We know that it shall be so. He came the first time, not too many people looking for him. But oh yes, he made it very known that he would return again and receive his people unto himself. Praise the Lord. And we can rest in that promise, because what God has declared, he knows how to make it happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Israelites, yes, it was going to happen. Not according to any way that they would ever fathom in their minds, but according to his plan and his purpose. Oh yes, so that it would be divinely carried out according to his will. Praise the Lord. And here, as we read this portion in Psalms 105, we know that he's talking about those signs and wonders in the land of Ham, and the land of Egypt, in other words. And the scripture begins to describe the plagues There were 10 plagues that God caused Moses and Aaron to bring forth by the hand of God. And they all were playing their role to, again, just set God's plan in motion and to bring it forth. So it talks about the darkness there in verse 28. God who made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. Well, we know that was the ninth plague. And that darkness that came upon the land of Egypt, oh, was so dark that it could be felt. That darkness was for 3 days. They could not see one another for 3 days. Neither could they rise up from their place for 3 days. It was so dark, and that was such a gross, heavy darkness that they could feel it. It was over all the land of Egypt, except in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived. They had light in their dwellings. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then several of the other plagues are discussed in this passage of scripture here in Psalms. Next one that is discussed is talks about how he turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Of course, that was the very first plague that Moses and Aaron brought forth. Oh yes, in doing so, Aaron took his rod and he smote the waters. And there, with that strike with the rod, those waters turned to blood, and there were 7 days where those waters were all full of blood. The fish died that were in those waters, and the waters stank. Oh, the vessels were even filled with blood, and it obviously was extremely grievous and hard. They had to try to dig around the river to try to find water to survive. But even so, Pharaoh's heart was still very heavy after that, and he did not let the children of Israel go. So God did the next thing. And it says in verse 30, their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. And that was the second plague. And oh my, again, Aaron took his hand with the rod and held it over the waters of Egypt. And all at once there were frogs that came into their houses, frogs that came into the bedchambers, frogs that laid upon their beds. Frogs that were in the houses of all their servants. Frogs that were in the ovens. Frogs that were in the kneading troughs. And oh my, just frogs everywhere until, oh my, there was some relenting, and God was able to make the frogs disappear, which he did. But that wasn't yet enough. No, there had to be more works done, more signs and wonders. And here in verse 31, it says, he spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in their coasts. And the lice, that was the third plague that came forth. In this case, they smote the dust, and it became lice. At this point, the magicians tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. They had kind of been able to turn water into blood by, you know, some of their sly abilities and so on, some of their tricks. And they were sort of able to make frogs appear. But, you know, when it came to the lice, there was nothing that they could do. And they realized it was the hand of the Lord. And then the fourth plague, that consisted of swarms of flies. But it tells us that the land of Goshen was not affected with those flies. Those flies were everywhere in Egypt. Otherwise, the house of Pharaoh and the house of his servants all throughout that land of Egypt, except for Goshen. Praise the Lord. And then, oh my, there were more plagues that came forth. Verse 32 says he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. And that's talking about the seventh plague, where there was thunder and hail with fire mingled with it, fire along the ground that came forth. And it was very grievous. The cattle that were left in the fields died of the hail. And crops that were ready to be harvested, barley and flax, they were destroyed. In this case, they had been warned that they could bring their cattle in. They had a mind to listen to what was going to happen. They were warned, even the Egyptians. But obviously, many didn't think anything of what Moses and Aaron were declaring. But oh yes, the cattle that were in the land of Goshen, they were not destroyed by this. So that's a great wonder, isn't it? Praise the Lord preserving his people. Amen. And then it says, pertaining to the hail, he smote their vines also and their fig trees and break the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number. And that was interesting, too, because after the hail had destroyed many things quite largely, then God went on to send locusts. Very thick swarms of locusts that filled all the houses and covered the land of Egypt. They came in great numbers. You know, it made things dark because there were so many of them that came down in great numbers. They covered the earth and they ate everything that was left that the hail had not destroyed. So there was no greenery left after that. Oh, amazing things that God was doing to show his power and his might. Yet we see that Pharaoh wasn't getting it. Oh, for a while he'd relent, and at times he'd say he repented, and then he'd say he'd let them go. At one time he said, you know, they could go, but not the children. Well, that wasn't going to work. No, it had to be all of them. And then next, you know, he said they could go, but not the cattle. They couldn't take the cattle. And I suppose he was thinking that they didn't take the cattle, they certainly would be back, huh? But anyway, you know, it took a lot to get that Pharaoh to realize the hand of God and that God was not going to stop until he let the people go. And, you know, it tells us in verse 36, he smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And, of course, that was the very last plague. Oh, yes, when it was necessary for them to put the blood on the doorpost. Oh, yes, as they were getting ready to keep the Passover, as they would finally flee Egypt, and all the need to be ready to have the staff in their hand and their loins girt, their shoes on their feet, and everything to be ready. Oh, yes, to bring that lamb in, that lamb without blemish. A male of the first year that would be the sacrificial lamb that they would kill on the 14th day. And that blood from that lamb was to be applied on the lintel of their doors, the lintel being the horizontal beam above the door. And then on the two side posts, there had to be blood in those three areas, on the lintel, there above the door, and then on the two side posts. And they were told that none of them could go out of the door of the house until the morning, because, oh yes, the Lord was going to send his angel on Passover. Praise God, when he saw the blood, that firstborn was not going to be destroyed. But where there was no blood, then, oh yes, there would be the death of the firstborn child. And that even went pertaining to the critters, the firstborn of the animals. But God was doing his work. His will was going to be done. No matter how hard Pharaoh's heart was, God was still going to release his people. They were going to escape. They were going to get out of there. It was God's divine will, a divine appointment that he had set forth. And I love that because I know that what God has determined, that he's going to do. We can rest in his promises. God will keep them. You know, it's for them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, as we're told in Hebrews. You know, it needs to be in our hearts at this very hour that we're looking for our Savior to return, Jesus Christ, coming again, not as a newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, unbeknown to most everybody. But oh my, this time in such a way that every eye is going to see him. Oh yes, and oh, even those that crucified him are going to realize at that moment who he is. They're going to feel, oh yes, the wrongness of their action. Oh yes, they that pierced him are going to see him. All kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Praise the Lord. Even so, amen. Praise the Lord, as we're told in Revelation 1, verse 7. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yes, God keeps his word. His promise to Abraham, he was going to keep. And I must say that there were a couple more plagues. There were 10 altogether that aren't mentioned here in this passage in Psalms 105. It was a grievous marine that was put upon the animals. And there, this great sickness came upon all the cattle of Egypt. And it wasn't just what we would call cattle, but it was also upon horses and asses and camels and oxen and sheep. But again, none of the children of Israel were afflicted in that way. In fact, it tells us there, the 9th chapter of Exodus, that Pharaoh even sent his soldiers or whoever to go check them out. And lo and behold, the critters there in Israel were safe and had not perished. Amen. And that was the 5th plague. And then the 6th plague isn't described here in this Psalms passage. And that's an interesting one too, when Moses took ashes from the furnace and sprinkled them towards heaven, the 6th plague, and those ashes became boils. Oh, my, grievous boils that afflicted the Egyptian people. Oh, not good. But God used all of these plagues to show his might and his power. And so much so that, you know, before they left, the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus, actually, they were able to spoil the Egyptians. It's an amazing thing. You see, the Egyptians at that point were ready to let them go. Oh, yes, they were sick of what was happening. And even at times, the servants of Pharaoh were, you know, on Pharaoh's back and saying, hey, you got to let them go. We don't like these plagues. You know, God is tormenting us. We've got to let them go. And I believe by the time the 10th plague was about ready to be poured out, the Egyptians realized very, very well that, you know, God meant what he said, and these plagues were not going to let up until those Hebrew people were let go, until they were released. Amen. I believe it became very clear to them, and they were able, the Hebrews, I shall say, were very, they were able to spoil the Egyptians. They were able to go to the homes and claim that would have been theirs. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and other precious things. So it tells us in verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. Praise the Lord. So God used every detail, every plague to just further show his purpose and his plan to make himself known and to put his fear upon the Egyptian people so that they would know his might and his power. Amen. So they were literally glad when they finally were able to send them away. Amen. When they departed, they were actually glad. Praise the Lord. So we see how God worked it. His own way, his own timing, for his own purpose, his exact plan. And praise the Lord, then he took the children of Israel into the wilderness. And there they would be tried. There they would be led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When those pillars stopped, they knew that they must stop. It was time to rest or to recover from their long journey. And then when that cloud began to move again, then they knew it was time to go forward. That's how God led them at that point. Now, in this dispensation of grace, God has put his Spirit within us so that we can be led by the Holy Ghost, so that we can know the voice of God and know how he leads us, how he guides us, how he takes care of us. You see, there is definitely reason to ask God to reveal his will, to put our lives into his hands, and to just let him lead us and guide us. Like I said at the first, you know, every day is that opportunity. Oh yes, things can change. We never quite know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. But God knows. And he has a plan, he has a will, and you know, each step is a part of his plan. Praise the Lord. So he is directing us, so he is guiding us, so he is taking us forward, you know, so that one day we could stand before him and be accepted in his sight. Oh yes, and be brought into the great, wonderful land that he has prepared for his people, the new heavens and the new earth. Praise the Lord. So he led his people. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe the statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Yes, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, how God keeps his promise. How he knows how to get us through this wilderness that we are now in. Oh, this whole world, full of its tribulation and troubles. Things that we don't always understand. The confusion that we sometimes are dealing with. That we go through, amen, yes. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy 8 here as we end this 105th chapter here tonight. This 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, I think, is a good summary there of some of the things we've dealt with. But, you know, God's plan, his ways, and how he took them through, these children of Israel. But, you know, in so doing, God was proving them. He was trying them as they went through the wilderness and wandered those 40 years. You know, God knew precisely why it was being allowed. They had to be proven before they could enter into Canaan land or the promised land. And you know, that's not that different from God's path for us today, you know? We have to be proven before we can enter our promised land, that place that God has reserved for his people. So yes, these are all steps, his leading, his guidance. But let's look at this 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. Amen. I just love some of the details that are pointed out in this chapter. Let's look at it. Praise God. And of course, Deuteronomy is one of the books of Moses. And in this book of Deuteronomy, it's Moses' words, his last words before he died. And he was summarizing many times the events that had unfolded as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And there are definite, pertinent details that he wants them to remember, because he knows that as long as they're faithful to God, as long as they keep God as their guide, as their savior, as the one that they follow, and stay away from the idolatry and the heathen ways, that they will do well. But oh my, if they get a notion and decide to tread in a different way, they're going to be led into trouble. God will see to it, because yes, you know, there are consequences when we fall out of line with God's will. So let's look at this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses is saying, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And so here we gain some understanding why God took them through all those details, all those trials and those tests. He was deliberately trying to prove them and just see where their heart really was. Would they keep his commandments, or would they forsake him? So yes, it was very important to remember what God had told them. And it tells us in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Praise the Lord. And Jesus used some of that scripture when he was tempted of the devil. Amen. Luke, the 4th chapter, for one place. Yes, so that thy raiment or thy clothing wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And just think of this, 40 years in the wilderness wandering around, and their clothing didn't get ragged, it didn't tear, it didn't get dilapidated, it didn't wax old. And I don't know, with the children as they grew, if it just grew with them, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, their clothes did not wear out. And they were able to walk. It says, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You know, just as we read there in Psalms 105, that there wasn't a feeble one among them. Pretty amazing here. Praise the Lord. How the Lord, you know, blessed them and helped them, gave them what they had need of. And so Moses is, you know, wanting them to remember. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And yes, when, you know, they fell into temptation and you know, they murmured, they complained, oh, they rebelled, and at times they talked about going back to Egypt, at times they were ready to stone Moses and Aaron. But yet, you know, God, you know, wasn't going to, you know, he was going to chasten them if they did that. And it certainly happened. Oh, yes, as they were wandering through the wilderness. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Oh, yes, God wanted that point to be made known very clearly, that they must keep his commandments, that they must walk in his ways, and that they must fear him. Amen. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. So yes, it was a good land, Canaan, that had been promised and prepared for them. Oh yes, you know, God was going to use that fruitful land for their benefit and for their good. But there was a warning here, because God knows the tendency of man, that, you know, when things go too smoothly, when they go too well, that we are inclined to forget. And that indeed was a tendency back then, and it's still the tendency today. You know, another reason why God does allow for trials and tribulations in our lives, a time of testing, you know, because, oh my, if everything goes silky smooth all the time, we'd probably, you know, just forget how we need the Lord and that our reliance is upon him. We would forget that without him we can do nothing. So here, Moses begins to warn them. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. See, it was all for their profiting. It was for their good and all the, you know, bountiful plans that God had prepared for them, you know. Oh, it would be so worth it if they could just make it through that wilderness. Oh, that hard wilderness. Yeah, it was a troublesome place. It was a great and terrible wilderness, as described in verse 15. Fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. No water. Oh, yes, they had to get water out of the rock and so on. Oh, yes, the rock of flint. Oh, amazing things. God had to send them manna. And oh, yes, at times the quail, oh, to come forth and to feed them. But oh, yes, God was showing them his power and his might. He was also trying them. He was proving them to see, oh my, what kind of attitude they had deep down inside, where their heart really was, and how they were really thinking. Were they worthy to go into that land that he had prepared for them? He doesn't like murmuring and complaining. He doesn't like people who look back and you know, think about going back to the land of Egypt in that case, or in our case, you know, the old world, the place that God delivered us from. Oh my, we don't ever want to go back. We don't want to have that notion in our minds and in our hearts. No, God tries us. He takes us deliberately through hard moments, through hard times. Oh, yes, so that, you know, we can see where our focus is, and so that we don't have things so good that we forget God. Oh, Lord, help us not that we, oh, yes, we forget his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. Oh, yes, the things that, you know, are a part of our part of God's expectations for his people. Oh my, no, he doesn't want us to be partakers of this world. He brought us out of our bondage, out of our sin, out of our captivity. And oh, he's delivered us so that we might be his child, that we might walk with him, that we might know him, that we might be a light in this dark world, that we would be an ambassador for his kingdom's sake. Amen. And he doesn't like it when we mingle with the world. And oh, yes, we do the ways of the heathen and, you know, forget God and, you know, get complacent in our attitudes and reckless in our thinking. And oh, my, do things that God despises. No, he wants his word to be deep in our hearts. And his ways to be a part of our thinking. He doesn't want us to turn around and be partakers of the world. We're called out. The word church means called out ones, the ecclesiasti. Oh my, the people that God has called out of Egypt, out of bondage, just as he wanted this natural people to be representative of his kingdom, of his ways. To not go the ways of the heathen, to rely upon him, and oh yes, to keep his statutes, his judgments, his commandments. Amen. So he led them through the wilderness. Oh yes, lest thine heart be lifted up, going back to verse 14, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. Oh, yes, and the things, you know, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, the things that are reserved for them that love him. You know, the treasures beyond this world that God has reserved for his people. Oh, we just have little inklings of them right now. I know Peter wrote about them in 2 Peter, that first chapter, where he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, his plan, his purpose. Oh, yes. That he would put his spirit in us so that, oh, we could, oh, yes, be partakers of that divine power. Oh, praise the Lord that was in Jesus Christ. And, oh, yes, the spirit that was in him to come and rule and reign in us. The Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Oh, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's no turning back in this calling. Oh yes, we're told in the 10th verse here of 2 Peter 1, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And oh yes, just as God used Moses to, you know, warn the children of Israel that, you know, they must go forward, that they must not look back, that they must remember the Lord thy God, that they must keep his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, you know, that they must not forget how God took them out of the land of bondage and delivered them by mighty works. Oh yes, oh, the crossing of the Red Sea, and then oh yes, all the other works that he did to bring them into the promised land, and those plagues that he put upon Egypt so that the Egyptians would get that point that God is God, and oh my, we better listen to him. We better do those things that are right in his sight. So yes, it tells us, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter time, and that thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath got me this wealth, man's tendency, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations with the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, how we need to give heed, and how we need to listen to the things that have been proclaimed in the wonderful word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Just as Psalms 105 helps us to know that God keeps his promises. Oh, yes, what he has declared that he will do. And we need to remember, we need to retain how he brought us out, how he set us free. Oh yes, how he mightily delivered us from this world of sin when once we were condemned. And oh yes, the child of the darkness in reality. But praise the Lord has done wondrous things for us and brought us out. And we want to remember what he has done for us. Praise the Lord, and continue to observe his statutes and keep his law. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have reason to give thanks unto the Lord, to call upon his name, to make known his deeds among the people, to sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Oh, that need to seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Oh yes, let us remember, just as Moses admonished the children of Israel to remember how God had delivered them, and not to look back, and not to think that they can do it on their own, that oh my, that oh yeah, that they would forget how it was God who delivered them and set them free and gave them that ability to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Oh, that wonderful land of Canaan, just as he has reserved for his people a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I pray that you would lodge it into our hearts, Lord. Oh God, put it in our brains deeply, Lord, that we would not forget, that we'd not look back, that we'd not go after the ways of the heathen. Oh Lord, oh God, but we would remember how you brought us out, how you delivered us. Oh God, how you have taken us step by step, moment by moment, oh God, day by day, to the place that, oh Lord, you would lead us to. And we're getting there, little by little. Help us to remember that. Help us to walk with you. Help us, oh God, to keep that deeply in our hearts, Lord. And oh Lord, help us, oh God, to give thee the praise and the glory that is so due your name. Help us to never forget what you have done for us, that you brought us up out of that miry clay and established us upon the rock Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 34 and sing How Great Is Our God, number 34. How great is our God, how great is his name, he is the greatest one, forever the same, he rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.